Welcome to Today on Broadway for Thursday, March 7th, 2024. I'm Broadway Radio's Matt Tamanini.
And I'm Tell Me on a Sunday podcast, Grace Aki.
Grace, I don't know what theater gods we ticked off yesterday, but we said, hey, there's no news today. Let's do a whole show talking about the spring musicals. And then after we recorded at like 7 o'clock, Spamalot announced that it was closing early. And then at like 9 o'clock, Days of Wine and Roses announced that it was closing early. I got the Spamalot news into yesterday's episode, but the episode was already out in Patreon before Days of Wine and Roses closed. We will talk about that in a minute. But like, we tempted fate. Like, we said there's no news. And I don't know who, like Thespis himself, looked down on us and laughed.
Yeah, Garth Drabinsky's like evil eye was poised. I don't know. It was crazy. And I think that like we obviously are in a season where there are a ton of shows. I don't mean to like rehash this, but there's no guarantee of anything. And that's why we keep saying, go see the show that you want to see. We do not live in an era that we used to live in where you could say, oh yeah, that's on my list. I'll get to it. And then you have like 4 or 5 months go by and then you buy your tickets somewhere along the line. We are not in that space, especially with the spring season, especially with new shows, even those new revivals. Like if you want it, go get it or tell people about it. And yeah, those two really major venues, you're looking at the St. James, which is a behemoth. And then you're looking at Studio 54, which we've been talking about with the Alan Cumming of it all. And then now you've got a Wonderful World in the fall. But yeah, so there's a lot of opportunity, I guess, but still it's really heartbreaking. And I just, it sucks. It doesn't matter how you feel about the shows. It just always sucks when people lose jobs.
Yeah. We'll get into the specifics of Days of Wine and Roses here in a second, Grace, but that was not the biggest story of Wednesday. That instead went to Sirs Denzel Washington and Jake Gyllenhaal, because these two mega A-list movie stars and Broadway aficionados will be returning to the Great White Way, I guess, no pun intended, giving the show that they're doing, next spring in a revival of Othello. Tony winner Kenny Leon, one of the best, will be directing this show. We don't really know anything else about the production other than it will be playing in a Schubert house, and Brian Anthony Moreland will be producing. This will be the first Broadway revival of Othello in 43 years. The last time it was on Broadway was in 1982, and it starred James Earl Jones and Christopher Plummer, which feels like if you're going to do this show, you got to have major heavy-hitting acting talent, and these two gentlemen certainly fill that bill. This will be Denzel's first time back on Broadway since the 2018 revival of The Iceman Cometh, and Gyllenhaal's last performance on the main stem since Seawall and A Life. So this is going to be a very difficult ticket to get, Grace, depending on what theater they put it in. Maybe they put it in a gigantic theater. I think it'll still be a difficult ticket to get. It will also be a very expensive ticket to get, but we'd previously talked about the rumors about this show. The original rumor was that Adam Driver was going to do it. And you actually threw out Jake Gyllenhaal as a possibility when we first talked about that. But this is happening. And I feel like a lot of people, whether they are fans of Shakespeare or not, are going to be lining up at whatever theater this plays in.
Yeah. Can I tell a story that's not even my story? Or is there so much news, Matt? This is just like,
no, go
so
ahead.
Stupid.
Let's do it.
Okay.
Let's do a story.
This is so dumb. Okay. This is not my story. This is my friend's story. So she went to musical theater school, and she happened to go to musical theater school with a guy who is now known as Jake from State Farm. And the actor who I'm talking about. Okay.
Yeah.
And the whole school, they were polling like the school, the musical theater department, for what show that they wanted to do in the spring or the new play. And all these people are screaming out shows that they want to do. And from the very back, Jake from State Farm goes, Othello. He was obviously wanting to play Othello.
He's probably one of the few black men in it.
Yeah, and exactly. And so every time someone talks about Othello, I go, Othello, like in the back of the room. And I wasn't even there, but that's how good of a storyteller my friend Mackie is. So I hope Jake from State Farm can come see it. I will be inviting him. But no, this is cool. And I think that like Kenny Leon especially after Pearly Victorious, which I still won't shut up about. Mm-hmm. I'm excited to see him tackle the show with Denzel. I know that he's been itching to get back on stage since Iceman Cometh. We've had a whole Demi Lovato since then. So this is going to be really, really cool.
I've never heard that version of that before. Pan Demi Lovato. I love that. Yeah, certainly anytime you can get Denzel on stage, I'm going to be there because he is one of the absolute best. All right, let's get into the Days of Wine and Roses of it all. We mentioned it at the top of the show, but the new musical from Adam Gettle and Craig Lucas was originally scheduled to play through April 28th at Studio 54. It will now close on March 31st, almost a full month earlier. At the time of closing, it will have played 98 full performances. And really, as I outlined with Spamalot on yesterday's show, it's not a surprise when you look at the grosses for Days of Wine and Roses. It was the lowest grossing show on Broadway last week, including all of the plays, and it was also the lowest in terms of capacity. It only grossed $364,686 last week and played to a capacity of 54.57%. Not something that is sustainable, even in a relatively small house, for a musical with just over 1,000 seats at Studio 54. Now, Grace, yesterday I mentioned with Spamalot closing that I was like, I guess they could put something in the St. James over the summer. But it's a huge venue. Like, it would have to be something major. Like, I thought maybe like a concert residency or something like that, because that is where one of the runs of American Utopia played. To me, Studio 54 feels like an even better option for Roundabout to come in with a rental there, or maybe they put one of their own shows in there, because they have A Wonderful World getting ready to begin performances on October 16th. So they could play through Labor Day very easily and have time to load out and load back in. But with these two closing announcements coming back to back, basically, I did start to hear some stuff on Wednesday about a certain dance-focused musical currently playing uptown a bit, wanting to come to Broadway for a limited run this summer, and one of these two venues might be in the lead, and it's not the one that I would have expected. Certainly not a final thing. There are other venues that are going to be open as well. We know the much smaller Booth is going to be open because of Kimberly Akimbo closing. We know the Broadhurst is going to be going to be available over the summer. So there are other things, but keep an eye out for Sufjan Stevens' Illinois to make a hasty move downtown and be playing in Midtown sometime over the next few months. All right, Grace, let's take a break from the news and talk about our sponsor for this week, Factor. As I was waiting for you to get home, I put in one of my Factor meals and had the spicy Calabrian style ground beef. And I want to tell you, it was delicious, but it wasn't that spicy. Like, it was, had a little bit of spice, it had a little bit of kick, but it was not overwhelming. So like, if you're not a spice person, but you like a little bit of something in there, this is definitely something for you. It comes with delicious creamy herb green beans. I love their green beans in the Factor meals. And I know that no matter what I get from Factor, it is going to be delicious because they are all chef prepared as well as dietitian approved. And they give me so many different options. I can find the things that I know work for me and my very specific taste palette. Factor never fails to have tons of options for me. And I don't want to go back to a world where I don't have Factor meals in my life.
You know, I simply do not have the time. I do not have the time to heat anything up past 8 minutes. I don't know how Matt does it. He puts them in the oven and I have to do the 2 minute in the microwave. It just has to be this way. It's a crazy, crazy, crazy packed season, as we have talked about on the show. And that leaves very little room for time and money for me to go out to dinner. And frankly, this is to me the fastest, cheapest. It's so much less expensive to order delicious Factor meals than it is for me to go out. So this is my new go-to. I ordered, I think, 14 meals on Sunday. So I'm really excited to see what exactly is in store for me in the next week. Because as Matt describes, they are all incredibly delicious, but they're also incredibly nutritious. It's the way that I can get some more actually vegetables. And with Factor meals, I actually get the nutrients I need.
So head to factormeals.com/Broadway50 and use code Broadway50 to get 50% off. Once again, that's code Broadway50 at factormeals.com/Broadway50 to get 50% off. All right, Grace, as we get back into the news, we do have a little bit of a sad story to share with you. Stage veteran Linda Balgord passed away unexpectedly on Tuesday at the age of 64 down in Naples, Florida. Linda was one of the regular interpreters of Andrew Lloyd Webber. Perhaps most notably, she was the final Grisabella in the original Broadway production of Cats. She also played Madame Giry on Broadway in Phantom of the Opera. And she did both of those shows on tour, but she also starred in Aspects of Love on tour. And she was the original Norma Desmond in the Sunset Boulevard tour. Additionally, she also appeared in the original production of Passion, playing Fosca's mother. And she also was the understudy for Fosca. She was in the 2004 revival of La Cage aux Folles. And she was in The Pirate Queen, as well as the standby for Madame Rose in the Patti LuPone Gypsy. So there was a ton of people coming out on social media, including Donna Murphy, who she obviously did Passion with, Sharon Wheatley, who she did Cats with, and a number of other people sharing their remembrance of her. So for anybody who loved her, both personally or professionally, our thoughts go out to you. All right, let's dive into some show and casting news, Grace. And this one comes a day before the official opening, but the Roundabout Theater Company has announced that the Broadway revival of John Patrick Shanley's Doubt has extended by 1 week. It had previously been scheduled to close on April 14th. It will now play through April 21st at the Todd Hames Theater. It opens tonight on Thursday. Keep in mind, this is probably the only extension that this show can have. Now that it is playing through April 21st, that gives it less than a month to load out, and then for the next Roundabout show, Home, to load in before it begins performances on May 17th. The next story, Grace, comes from your home state. I don't know if I think you consider Chattanooga more of your hometown than Atlanta. But yesterday we got the principal casting for the upcoming world premiere production of The Preacher's Wife musical, which has long been worked on by Titus Burgess and AZ Dungy. The cast will include Amber Riley and Loretta Devine, both of them legends in their own right, but God, just seeing Loretta Devine on stage, like, gets me excited. We also know that Akron Watson, Donald Webber Jr. will be in the cast, as well as Alan H. Green, Jahi Kersey, and others. This one will begin performances on May 11th at the Alliance Theater in Atlanta, playing through June 16th. Grace, this one is just all kinds of exciting, not only for who wrote it, for the IP that it is based on, but to me, Amber Riley and Loretta Devine being in a show is great. And I've got to be honest with you, with all of the Glee people that we've seen on Broadway lately, like, the fact that we haven't gotten Amber Riley in the musical theater setting more is really a shock to me.
Yeah, you know, but she was in London, like, doing Dreamgirls, supposedly, right? And I thought that production was supposed to transfer here. And, like, it's a bummer that it didn't, but I think that this is the moment. I had heard actually a totally different casting for this previously. Ooh. So this is really cool that this is the group. I'm very supportive. It's very exciting. I, for one, had just, like, having known about the development of this piece, I am a huge Whitney Houston Preacher's Wife fan. Most people, and especially, I believe, like, Southern audiences are more familiar with that adaptation than the original, like, 1940s, 1930s film of the same title. So double feature yourself on that one and see which one you enjoy more. But yeah, it's such a special film for a lot of people. And I think that they are going to hit this one in a way that makes it modern. Because my understanding is that this is now a present day setting. This is not set in the 90s. This is not, you know, giving a throwback to any decade. It's set now. That might change, but, you know, because it happens all the time. Seen it happen. So you never know. But I'm really excited. I'm really genuinely excited. The Alliance has been churning them out. So I'm pumped.
Yeah. And I will just note that Loretta Devine, okay, she played Laurel in the original production of Dreamgirls. So there's a Dreamgirls connection there. But she was in the 1996 movie of The Preacher's Wife. She's playing a different character, but she was in that movie, which is amazing. And this one is being co-directed by Michael Arden and Ta-Nehisi Coates-Bolden. So very exciting to hear about this one. All right, Grace, let's get into some recommendations. I've got a couple quick videos that I want to point out, and then I'm going to turn it over to you. But coming to us from London, they had a nice big press event to preview the new musical, Why Am I So Single, by Toby Marlowe and Lucy Moss. They have a couple videos. Grace, you and I saw at least one of these songs at 54 Below. It is hysterical. Check it out. And then we also have a very cool music video from The Outsiders with Brody Grant, who plays Ponyboy, singing the song Tulsa 1967. So they had a nice video. It looks like they were actually in Tulsa. I know they took the cast out to Tulsa. So a cool music video, really, you know, like we talked about on yesterday's show, a bluegrassy, folky singer-songwriter song. So check out those videos. Now, Grace, you have a recommendation that is a little self-serving, but also very cool because it is being coordinated by two of my favorite people on the internet.
Yeah, so it's not self-serving in the sense that I don't really benefit. I just want people to know about it. But I am so excited to be a part of this upcoming Green Room 42 show, a celebration for two birthdays that happen on the same day. If you know, you know, Stephen Sondheim, March 22nd, and Andrew Lloyd Webber, March 22nd, were born on the same damn day, which is crazy that we have never had a birthday party celebration and concert that mashes up some of his music and some of his music. Like, it's so wild to me that no one's ever done this. And Rachel Joyce, who helps run the Theater Lovers Instagram account with her husband, Will Anderson, said, you know, one day, I think we were very late at a Taco Bell, and they were like, how has no one ever done that? And I said, you've got to do it. And they were like, yeah, we've been thinking about it. And then a bunch of our friends like kept bullying them, I hope. And then they succumbed this year. So they are finally doing this concert. They've got people from the Cats National Tour. They've got someone that was in Jesus Christ Superstar Live, F. McElhaney. They've got so many people. Katie Oxman, Kaisha creates. Like, it's a really, really lovely group of people, but it's also like, it's just going to be silly. It's going to be fun. We're going to have like party favors. This is like a children's birthday party for two very old, one deceased man. So it's going to be fun. But it's just kind of like a no-brainer theater person's thing. And I think that everyone's going to enjoy it. So it's in person, obviously. And then they will have a streaming option. So you can purchase tickets, I believe, for streaming so that Matt can creep from Florida. But yeah, so this will be a lot of fun. I'm just, it was an honor to even be asked. I just wanted to support the project. And they were like, do you want to do something? And I was like, I have been in many a Sondheim, but sure. So here we are.
I love it. We will, of course, have a link to where you can purchase tickets to see that show at the Green Room 42. All right, everybody, that's all that we have for today. Thanks for listening to Today on Broadway. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Broadway Media. And you can follow me on Instagram at BWWMatt. Grace, where can people find you?
You can find me at It's Grace Aki.
All right, everybody, have a wonderful Thursday, and we'll be back to talk to you tomorrow.